Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 18, 2016. Peace efforts are holding in the former Western Equatorial State.
Okay, after the signing of the agreement, in fact, we are committed. The government is also committed. Some of our soldiers are even moving in town. We have not seen anyone who has been arrested by the government soldiers.
And Sudanese discuss development challenges.
The main factor that has been tackled is Millennium Development Goals during the period before 2015 and the new trend after 2015.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A church leader involved in the peace process in the former Western Equatorial State says the government and the group calling itself the South Sudan Liberation Movement have formed various committees for reconciliation and healing. The statement comes a month and a half after the government and the anti-government group sign a peace deal to end fighting in the state of Budwe. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Juba.
Budwe State Deputy Governor Victor Edward, who served as the government's chief negotiator during the peace talks, admits there have been some delays in implementing the deal. But Edward says the government is committed to implementing the deal within 60 days as stipulated in the deal.
Let them not panic, let them not have that doubt. To clear the doubt, that was why they came and to come on Saturday. Very soon we are going to see the implementation kicking off, and in a very short time as possible, I think it will even be concluded.
The spokesman for the group calling itself the South Sudan National Liberation Movement says his side will also abide by the peace deal. Abel Mathew says his group trusts the state government.
Okay, after the signing of the agreement, in fact, we are committed. The government is also committed. Some of our soldiers are even moving in town. We have not seen anyone who has been arrested by the government soldiers.
Matthew says, since the signing of the peace deal, the government has abided by the security arrangements protocol signed by the vigilante and the government.
Because it is the state government which is feeding us, and after that, according to the agreement, after all our forces are assembled in one place, the national government will take our responsibility.
Matthew says the parties to the agreement are also discussing possible assembly locations where their forces will be screened and trained before being reintegrated into the national army. The secretary for the Faith-Based Council of Peace in Budwe State, Reverend Elnama Jacob, says the partners to the April peace deal have set up committees to oversee the implementation of the deal.
The first committee which was formed was the Committee for Mobilization. It was to be headed by the Commissioner of Uyambio County. And then the second committee was the Committee of Conciliation and Healing. And this was to be held by Faith-Based Council for Peace.
Jacob says the two sides also formed rehabilitation and logistic committees. The agreement also provides that a joint military technical committee consisting of 8 members from the National Security Service, the Interior Ministry, Defense Ministry, and a former vigilante group. That committee will oversee the integration of members of the vigilante group who call themselves the South Sudan National Liberation Movement into the National Army and other organized forces according to their qualifications and capabilities as stipulated in security sector reform protocols in the IGAD-mediated agreement to end the conflict in South Sudan. Gift Friday for VOA News, Juba.
And in Imatong State, officials are touring villages in the state to raise awareness about the South Sudan peace agreement and reconcile various warring communities who are still fighting each other over past deadly cattle raids in the former Eastern Equatorial State. Kaltuma Vanessa has this report from Torit.
The governor of Imotong State, Natricholo Lukema Nair, visited Ikoto, Kiala, Loudo, Tirangore, Magui, and Pageri to talk to the community leaders about the importance of ending intertribal conflict. Loluke says most of the warring communities have agreed to reconcile and live in peace, side by side. He says peace can only prevail in the state if the government and resident open a new page and forgive and forget past mistakes.
The people need to understand their problem, and then the government need to acknowledge the areas where they have failed. And also the communities need to acknowledge where they have failed. The organized forces need to apologize for what they have done. And then politicians need also to acknowledge the fact that they also play a part in all the conflict.
Warlock James, a South Sudanese musician popularly known as WJ the King, traveled from Juba to his hometown of Torit to join the state officials in their quest for peace. WJ says the people of Imotong State have suffered immensely due to dispute over cattle raiding and bridal prices. He says Imotong State needs peace so that investors will be enticed to come in and open development projects.
Let's chase what call war very far. Let's chase what call tribalism very far. Let's not say that only government can bring peace. You can bring peace. Me can bring peace. If our heart come together, we all as civilian in South Sudan, let's forget the past because we are tired. Enough is enough. There is no need for us to kill. There is no need for us to die.
WJ says Imotong residents and soldiers should support each other and work together to maintain stability in the state. He says mistrust between residents and soldiers can be deep-rooted, but that can change.
They need to give respect to our army. And also our army, they need to give respect to our civilian. Because before you become an army, you've been a civilian. So you went and you enter into the army, you want to protect your land and your civilian. All of us, when we come together, we support each other. I think nothing will defeat us in this land. We shall be the best and everything will be good. We need freedom, we need love.
Governor Loluke urged to the people of Imotong State to focus on issues of good governance and the rule of law as one way of preventing further conflict. He says South Sudanese should discourage tribalism and corruption in order to achieve peace and stability. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Torit.
A South Sudanese university student in the United States has spent past 2 years studying unemployment trends and the major factors that lead to slow job growth and job creation in South Sudan. He says one way to create more jobs and increase revenue would be to combine two industries, which would maximize job growth and diminish food insecurity in South Sudan. Ayen Bior explains.
Baboya James Edmund Barnaba graduates this Sunday from Brandeis University in the eastern U.S. state of Massachusetts. He spent the last 2 years at Brandeis trying to figure out the best way to help farmers and fishermen in South Sudan maximize their potential. He says more work needs to go into modernizing South Sudan's agriculture industry, but that does not only mean importing new technology like tractors and environmentally friendly farming techniques. Baboya says there should also be a push toward bringing in more technology to support communication between farmers and their customers. That way, he says, the agriculture industry in South Sudan would feed more people, as well as generate more revenue to farmers.
The two are married together because the technological part of the telecom system in South Sudan supports, provides a platform for the agricultural, the young guys who are in the rural areas. They produce their food. Government provides a mechanism of access to the market. For them to be able to take this food to the market, they need to be provided with the technology, for example, the mobile money transfer.
Baboya says strengthening the telecommunications industry in South Sudan will connect farmers in rural areas to markets in towns and cities like the capital, Juba. The International Telecommunication Union says in 2014, about 25% of South Sudan's population had access to mobile cellular subscription, Baboya says the government and international donors should focus on expanding cellular use. He says if they did, fishermen in Cherakeka town, just north of Juba, could make more money and run their businesses more efficiently by communicating directly with their customers in Juba markets and other places by phone.
So if you can have this platform where you can be able to send this money to Cherakeka using the mobile money, so then the youth in Cherakeka will not spend more time to travel, you know, all the way to Juba, spend 3 days and then go back. They will spend the 3 days to produce more fish, spend a few hours in Juba just to sell. So the mobile telecommunication will become an enabler.
Baboya says telecommunication could also help markets provide a variety of goods and services to needy customers.
Like, you know, you need to call your customers about you have this available food, and then they're able to know, and then perhaps they need to book the food in advance, and then, you know, so it enables people to be able to communicate.
Baboya says it is important to remind farmers that they can expand their businesses and provide for their families for years to come if they have the communication technology they need.
So that they do farming as a business, and by doing that practice by itself, they're pulling away from subsistence farming, you know. Because when people talk about modern agriculture, it's not about having machinery per se, but how do you get agricultural practice to have incentives in terms of people getting money out of it?
Baboya graduates this weekend from Brandeis University with a master's degree in sustainable international development. He plans to return to South Sudan shortly after graduating. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Participants at a public forum in Khartoum say Sudanese leaders must work to protect the environment and poverty and restore lasting peace in order to achieve the UN's sustainable development goals in Sudan. Nabil Biagio attended the UN's association-sponsored forum and reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The forum brought together ambassadors, academics, and experts to discuss efforts to expand primary education, gender equality, eradicate poverty, and address climate change as stipulated in the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Izzeddin Hamid, a member of the UN Association and the forum's main speaker, says the Sudan government and UN agencies must educate the public about sustainable development goals.
To brief them to educate the public opinion about these goals and objectives so that we can follow up and coordinate our efforts with local entities, whether official or non-official.
UN member states adopted the Sustainable Development Goals in September 2015 to replace the Millennium Development Goals created in 2000, which included addressing challenges of poverty, hunger, disease, gender inequality, and access to water and sanitation. The UN Secretary General's report on Sudan's performance in 2015 indicated that some progress had been made in expanding access to primary education and making water available. But the report noted that Sudan is still lagged behind in several areas, including fighting poverty and achieving environmental sustainability. Hamid describes the difference between the UN's Millennium Goals and the reorganized Sustainable Development Goals.
The main factor that has been tackled is the Millennium Development Goals during the period before 2015 and the new trend after 2015, which has been described as United Nations Global Agenda or Sustainability, Sustainable Development Goals instead of Millennium Development Goals, that have been extended and organized in such a way as to include the priorities and stress the fact that all these goals and objectives are integrated.
Some participants noted that Sudanese women are still underrepresented in government, the media, and other sectors of society. They say this undermines the goal of achieving gender equality. Environmental expert Ahmed Hussein says Sudan must also work harder to ensure that its environment is sustainable. Hussein says protecting the environment is tied to fighting poverty in Sudan and can only be achievable if peace is restored across the country.
There is a lot of disparities between urban and rural areas. Rural areas in Sudan is very important because most of the livelihood and the agriculture is coming from rural areas, which is now under the conflict and under dispute and wars in Darfur, in Blue Nile, in South Kordofan, and in the Eastern Sudan.
Hussein says the government must design policies that preserve and make use of the large land in rural areas, which can be used to promote development and reduce rural to urban migration of people. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at climate change. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how much influence do your parents have on your decisions?
My parents had an influence on me before they passed away, especially my late dad. He inspired me to be the first in everything. At that time, I was in primary school.
In a case when I need to take any decision, I first consult my parent in order to give me a way out on how I should make a good decision. So they always contribute a lot in everything that I'm doing in my life.
I think they have a large influence on the decisions that I make because, well, I have to ask for permission for stuff to do, like if I want to go out, you know, stuff like that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Not all countries are affected equally when it comes to climate change. In fact, scientists say rich nations probably will fare better than poor nations in some way. And it's not just about money. VOA Joe DiCapua reports.
In climate change, as in business, it's location, location, location. And some very poor nations apparently are at the wrong latitudes when it comes to the impact of rising global temperatures. A team of international researchers says those countries are likely to experience heat extremes sooner than wealthy nations. Dr. Manoj Joshi is a senior lecturer at the University of East Anglia's School of Environmental Sciences in Britain.
There's an emerging field people have started looking at in the last few years related to climate change, which is called times of emergence. And it's not how much the world warms, but how fast it warms and how much that warming is related to the natural variation in climate from year to year.
He says the location of many wealthy nations allows greater variability in temperatures from year to year because they're not tropical countries. They're located in what are called the extratropics. In a sense, more natural variability in their weather offers some protection from heat extremes.
The extratropics, where a lot of the richest countries of the world lie, the climate signal is large, but the variability, what we call the year-to-year variation, is also large. So paradoxically, a lot of countries in the tropics, even though they warm more slowly, they will get more significant temperature rises quicker.
Joshi says if daily temperatures remain fairly steady in tropical countries from day to day and then year to year, people do not learn to adapt to extremes.
So if the variation is low, then any sort of change on top of that will be an extreme event because you're adapted to less variability.
He says countries in the Horn of Africa and West Africa are likely to be among the worst affected by heat extremes.
We're talking about tropical countries, those nearer the equator. And what it means is these countries will experience extreme temperatures earlier than we'll experience extreme temperatures, sooner than we will, at a lower level of carbon dioxide, at a lower level of what's called in this paper cumulative emissions, when we add up the total amount of CO2 that all of us are putting into the atmosphere.
And ironically, poor countries, expected to see heat extremes sooner than rich nations, actually produce much less carbon dioxide emissions.
Yeah, that's certainly very interesting. It's just a way of how the climate system plays out, essentially. It's a consequence of that. The climate system responds in terms of the laws of physics. So it's not a question of fair or unfair. It's what the climate system is doing.
Drought is plaguing regions of the Horn of Africa, creating insecurity for many thousands of people. But Joshi says you have to be careful connecting that directly to climate change.
There's a drought going on in parts of the Horn of Africa, but some of that could be related to anomalous temperatures in the Indian Ocean or the El Nino that's been going on for the past 6 months to a year. So we have to be very careful attributing specific events to climate change rather than variability. But the sorts of extreme temperatures that we're talking about, they might start happening sooner in these sorts of countries.
Researchers say it's not clear whether efforts to limit CO2 emissions during the rest of this century will do anything to lessen the impact on poor countries. But they say the information may be used to help countries adapt to climate change. The findings are published in Environmental Research Letters. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Listeners of the government-owned Yambio FM in the newly created Budue State are criticizing the government's decision to ban all foreign music from airing on the station. The verbal ministerial order was announced on Monday following complaints from local musicians that their songs are not being played on the local station. As Gift Friday reports for VOA from Juba, the station's program presenters and local artists say the ban on foreign music is unnecessary.
As from today, the domination of Yambio FM radio station by foreign songs will come to an end. Today is the end of the domination of foreign music in Yambio FM.
That's Information Minister Joseph Natale Sabuni issuing the order yesterday at Yambio Freedom Square during the celebration of the 33rd SPLA anniversary. The announcement comes on the heels of accusations by Chris Malaise, head of the Budue State Local Artists Association, that the state radio station fails to play any songs from local musicians or conduct interviews with the local artists about their material.
We are seeing that the radio stations are dominated by foreign music, so I was trying to kind of an advice. If they can reduce the speed of playing the foreign music, then rather play our own music of South Sudanese. More than that, this was the point that I raised to the Minister of Information. We all need development in the music industry, and that is why we are behind the artists of South Sudan.
Malaise says he does not understand why Ugandan music dominates local music on the local airwaves. Yambio FM arts and entertainment presenter Victor Mbengo insists the station airs plenty of music by local artists.
But as someone who works with the artist and entertainment program, I feel like that accusation is not right because in our radio station, we have every Saturday and Sunday is dedicated for the artist and entertainment program. That is from 12 to 2 p.m. We even asked the president, you accused us that can he produce for us the list of the artists in the state when we were still called Western Equatoria. He even failed 2 to 3 times.
Mbengo says, in addition to the regular programs he has mentioned on which local music is played, the station dedicates 4 hours to local music each and every Saturday and Sunday. He says the ministerial order will negatively impact the state radio station.
Banning Ugandan music, that tells me as a presenter that when I sit in the radio, that means I'm only talking to a particular group or I'm only playing song of a particular group, but not covering all people who are living in the state.
Malaise says state officials never meant to institute an all-out ban playing foreign songs on the state-run radio station.
We never intended to stop any foreign music. We only say the speed of the foreign music should be reduced. At least if it can be played, it should not be played more than the South Sudanese music.
Abuy John, a regular listener of Yambi FM, equates the decision to ban foreign music to someone who doesn't want his or her neighbors in his or her house. John says banning the foreign songs is simply locking the local artists from collaborating with foreign artists like Ugandan's Jose Chameleon.
After this, you can go, some Sudanese will go to Juba or to Uganda, they will reach each other. That's good. But what Mr. said yesterday is not good. It means that we don't like what foreigners do to our country. But for me, I will not agree with that.
Wale 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 shabaliki wana Mungu wale 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 shopendo.
John says the radio stations should be allowed to mix the songs of both local and foreign artists. Yambi FM listener Dominic Raimondo agrees, adding that most of the local artists in the state were inspired by foreign musicians.
The current musicians now in the state were inspired by foreign music. And BBC himself, who was number one in the just concluded the competition in Juba, he was inspired by foreign music, that is Congo music. That's why he got that chance of becoming number one.
He says the local artists should learn from the styles of foreign musicians so they can progress with their careers. Today, Minister Sabuni appeared to roll back from his earlier position, saying his order was misunderstood.
The fact that we have said domination does not mean that we exclude all foreign songs. We can always borrow from the neighbors, we can borrow from the African countries. So what's happening now, our policy is that we are simply reversing the situation. Or we will give top priority to the local songs, the native songs, the traditional songs of Kure State. This should be an incentive to them.
Sabuni says music from Uganda and Congo, even Western music, can still be played, but more time should be devoted to local artists on Yambio FM. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The government of former Western Equatoria State and the group that calls itself the South Sudan Liberation Movement have formed various committees for reconciliation and healing. So says a church leader who helped negotiate a peace deal between the two sides about a month and a half ago to end fighting in the new state of Budwe. Budwe State Deputy Governor Victor Edward, who served as the government's chief negotiator during those talks, acknowledges that some delays in implementing the deal have occurred, but says the government is committed to implementing the deal within 60 days and called on citizens to remain calm. In former Eastern Equatoria State, officials from Imatong are touring villages across the state to raise awareness about the South Sudan peace deal and reconcile various warring communities there still fighting each other over deadly cattle raids. The governor visited several communities this week to talk to area leaders about the importance of ending intertribal conflicts. And finally, participants at a public forum in Khartoum say the country's leaders must work to protect the environment, end poverty, and restore lasting peace in order to achieve the UN's Sustainable Development Goals in Sudan. That's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Wednesday, and we will leave you with a foreign music for De La Move by JB Piana from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Est-ce aimer ou être aimé? Bien que l'amour soit le symbole d'un sentiment partagé, être aimé n'est jamais le signe d'un bonheur parfait. Bolingwe za maladi mabe. Symptômes nango souci, kasi kisi na yango se présence ya moto oyo ozali kolula, lokola na lula masia, yende kisi nanga, Jésus Christ. Bolingo lokola maladie contagieuse, tuna na ba mouré déçu, tuna na ba veuve d'amour, surtout tuna ba divorcé. Bako pesa yo témoignage na bango Okoyoka mawa Okoyoka ngolu.
We have been listening to JB Piana with the song For de l'amour. At least I can play that from this studio here, and it goes to our listeners in Yambio FM. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.